Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Check, check.
Check, check. There we go. Oh. 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 1-2-1-2. Is it bigger than anything? Is it bigger than anything?
Wait for it, wait for it, wait for it.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
Oh. Oh. Yo, long before people were talking about, you know, Afro beats playlists.
Right, right.
Dead Prez was, they went back to Africa.
Right. When was that?
Well, Sif, I'm glad you asked that. First of all, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
First of all, the anniversary of that album was just, it just turned 21, I think.
21, man. That shit could drink now.
Now, you would think we would have been told that last week before we talked to Dead Prez by our producer, Billy June.
Our producer. Right, right.
So,
right.
How, Sif, have you ever seen an experience, have you ever experienced it being possible for someone to both be doing a good job and fucking suck at the same time?
It's crazy. It's an anomaly. Look, how, like, because if you own a company, or if you have you're head of HR or a manager of any kind of mid-level corporation, if somebody was doing a bad job, you would fire them,
right,
and hire someone to do a good job,
right.
And then if someone's doing a good job, you praise them and you promote them.
You say, "Oh my God, you're doing such a great job."
How do you do both?
How do you do both
at the same time?
Yep, that's Billy June. He's doing a great job, and he also sucks dick simultaneously.
And it's like he staggers it so that it's good job, good job, bad job, good job, bad job, bad job, good job. So you're like, fuck, we're gonna get a new. Oh, this is kind of dope.
Shh.
This is fuck, Billy. Why didn't you tell? Wow, this turned out good. It's like a fucking emotional roller coaster.
He's really. It's almost like he's playing some sick mental game with us. If I didn't think he was a fucking schmidiot, I would think he was playing a game with us.
I just thought about that because Billy's the one who, for some strange reason, is actually the one who helped us reinvigorate the Wannap brand, if you will.
Yeah, he like demanded it.
But is this like some sick pandemic lockdown psycho Joker game he's playing?
Ooh.
Are these episodes even out?
That's
like, are they?
Well, you know what? That's a good point that you're bringing up, Saif. And first of all, if you want to tweet us or follow us or Instagram us, whatever it is, I am at Rosenberg Radio. He is at Saifa Sounds.
That's right.
Please reach out to us. The Patreon, Saif, is up and moving.
Now, man, thank you.
I have a philosophy on the Patreon.
Uh-huh.
I think we have like something like 45 people who've done it so far.
Right.
I believe that it's going to take us like a full, almost a year of being back before people will believe. Yeah, maybe seven, eight months.
Yes.
Before
yes,
people yes, think, did. Yeah, these guys are really here for me.
We had a bit of a consistency problem back in the day.
A few times.
We had a bit of a consistency problem. Consistency.
Like we were consistently inconsistent for over a decade.
And you gotta respect that.
You have to respect it.
But listen, we broke the mold. We set the tone.
Damn it.
These hip-hop podcasts exist because of us. Now, we appreciate my daughter. I was actually able to feed my daughter some delicious Hebrew National skinless beef franks with the amount of money that we made from Patreon so far.
Is that true?
I was able... 4-pack, not the 8-pack. I got her a 4-pack.
Wow.
I was able to throw... I couldn't splurge for the sauerkraut. But I had some skinless Hebrew National... Is it Hebrew National? No, it's Nathan's.
Oh, you got the Nathan's. Okay.
Nathan's kosher beef frank skinless.
I don't remember that song in this... I don't remember that in here. Hold on.
All love. What?
I don't know if I remember them saying the skinless beef hot dogs.
No, it's not in the song.
I'm just saying in the list.
Why would you think it was in the song, what I was saying?
Because I was hoping that you'd be feeding your daughter something healthy, but because of the lack of money.
Right. I eat no meat. No dairy, no sweets, only ripe vegetables, fresh fruit and whole wheat. I'm from the old school, my household smell like soul food, bruh. Curry falafel, barbecue tofu, no fish though, no candy bars, no cigarettes, only ganja, fresh squeezed juice from oranges.
Yo, they're so great. I'm so happy Dead Prez on the show today. I mean, if you can't tell.
Man. Yo, listen, patrons, thank you for the love. We need more. Spread the word. We're trying to get it at least to 300. Well, I say 360 because that's a cipher.
Yeah, that's our first goal for anyone who's wondering whether you should give us any guapalade. The first number goal for us is 360.
God, cipher divine.
You know, and listen, here's the thing. Here's the beauty, though. Here's how I look at it, Saif. If everyone wants to give us like 10 bucks right now, that's fire. But that's real money. That adds up over the course of a year. I get that. Yeah, so what we also need to do is spread the word so we get to the point where we have like 10,000 patrons who all give $2. Thank you. I'm good with that.
I'm great with that.
Great with it. So we just got to build, man. If we'd been building this whole time, yo, isn't it crazy,
Saif? They love us, man. They love us.
If we'd been building this whole time, we never gave up, we'd be rich.
I know.
How many different times have we failed? It's amazing.
I'm rich in spirit.
Are you? You did a hashtag on social media yesterday, the Horrible Chronicles. Are you?
Oh yeah, the Horrible Chronicles is fire.
Are you rich in spirit? You look like a miserable human being.
Everything is going wrong, and I just decided to laugh about it. I'm just laughing about it.
Yo, you're in the midst of everything going wrong. Your car died.
The control arm of the tire, or the tire rod, or the axle, one of those things. It just decided to pop off the wheel.
Oh,
the tow truck driver, who's my mechanic, great guy. He pulls up, he looks at it, he goes, yo, how'd you get home? Wow, how'd you make it home? How'd I make it home? What was supposed to happen? He goes, oh no, that tire should have popped off on the highway. You should have swerved into a truck and died.
Is that what he said?
Basically, that's what his face said. I read body language. His face was like, whoa.
Wait. So hold on, that's not horrible news. You lived yesterday, you could have died.
Right. But now I'm stuck in the house because I ain't got no damn car.
That's okay. What do you have to do anyway? You're a fucking loser. No offense.
Right.
But there's nothing to do today. You're alive.
Here's the deal, man.
Yo, your kids would have been like you.
What was that?
Your kids would have been like you, fatherless.
I know. That's crazy you say that. because my father died when I was 3.
I know.
And my son's about to be 3, and I'm like,
your son's already about to be 3?
Yeah, and I'm like, damn, is he going to be without a pops?
Yo, I don't understand how fast time is going. I cannot believe your second child's about to be 3. But they would have been singing this, man. Sometimes I feel like a fatherless.
That was a good edit. That was a good edit.
Yo, this would have been your kids. Your daughter and your son would have made a video together.
Rich man, poor man, read the headlines. Niggas getting murdered for spots and bigger dimes. Bouts and drug wars, living by gun law. Jail cats come home and want to take you on as a
young. And at some point, someone would have corrected them and said, hey, do you really think you should go with this? Because you're not motherless, you're fatherless. And they said, no, we're just going to keep yelling father over the sample. We think we'll be fine.
Perfect. Yeah, they got it. The Riz is going to mix it for them. Listen, I'm very excited today because this is one of my favorite groups of all time. And it's funny because I never reach out to these people. I never want to annoy them. But we wanted to reach out to Dead Prez for last week's episode to talk about Pun. To basically talk about one, like an interlude on Pun's album that Dead Prez made with Pun. And it was just like some wannabe weirdo nerd shit that talk about something that no one ever else talks about.
And then I was like, Syfe, wait. You're literally one of the worst bookers in the history of life.
I wouldn't even say one of.
Yeah,
I'd say the worst.
You're dead last. You never take advantage of your relationships. You just got us an awesome group who doesn't talk that much to talk about this tiny blip.
With simple DM.
You just
DM. I don't know Dead Prez. I don't know them like that.
So then we were like, hold on, they're here. Let's do an entire Dead Prez episode. Especially they're the perfect people to talk to in the time we're living in right now. Plus the album just turned 21. Plus they're just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So
you're not wrong.
No. So check
and
this out. Let's
turned
do
it. It turned out to be way better than I thought, man. They were dropping bombs.
All right, should we start it off?
Should we beg for more money real quick? Listen,
you've been fans of us
from years ago. I mean, years ago. This is years ago.
By the way, a lot of people are already ready to move on from years ago.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
I'm seeing
Billy June, have you seen the comments? There are a lot of people who think you've killed years ago already.
Years ago's all over my shit.
Oh my god, it's bad. People are
now, by the way.
No, fuck them. They move on too quickly nowadays. Let this shit live.
I think that you killing it like really bad actually has in the long term will make the longevity even better. They don't see the forest through the trees though, Syfe. They're not visionaries.
No. No.
But guess what? You've been
a
visionary.
Turtles, man.
You've been a visionary since when?
Years ago.
Years ago.
All right, Dead Prez on One Up is Dead. One Up is Dead is Dead Prez. Boom.
Oh, One Up is Dead Prez.
One Up is Dead Prez.
It's a big day, ladies and gentlemen. One Up is dead. And, you know, it's weird because we've done a lot of podcasts about dead people, and I hate saying One Up is dead.
You have to, like, keep reminding people it's a De La Soul reference. It's not, we're not dead.
Yeah. But I've told you this before many times. You know, we've been doing this podcast since years ago.
Years ago.
And Dead Prez is one of my favorite groups. Maybe, I'm sorry, M1. M1 is here from Dead Prez.
What are you about to say?
I'm just saying Outkast just literally like a little bit more. That's, you know what I mean?
All good.
Oh, you
all
can take
good.
That one.
I love Outkast.
If there was no Outkast, Dead Prez favorite group.
Dope. I'll take that any day. Consolation prize, I'll take it.
Silver medal to Outkast? That's a good one.
Oh, shit.
What? Not good.
Can you guys hold on 1 second?
What happened?
It sounds tragic.
Oh, he's gonna put on his Dead Prez clothes.
Yes, stunt for him. Stunt for him.
I never got these. I'm tight.
I'm sorry, I don't have a Cypher Sounds jacket, T-shirt, hat, something. a Rosenberg wristband.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm an idiot.
Oh, Syfe, you got your gear on now.
Oh,
sorry.
There you go.
He came RBG now. Yes,
this is actually the first time I'm wearing this, and it's kind of like I didn't break it in yet. It's kind of like right out the package.
people don't know those can be, they don't give too much because it's heavy embroidery. It doesn't, you can't tell if you don't have it, but the thing is so embroidered the fuck up that you can't,
there's no give. You're right. There's no give on it.
Yeah. Oh, dang. Thank
this
you.
This is that the Dead Prez Supreme collabo.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, I saw this was coming out, you know, I bought every piece from this collabo. Wow.
So if you bought every piece in the collection, how many pieces was that, M1?
Could have been 10, I think. There was like a bandana. There was
I still got the tag on it.
Boom.
Quilted jacket. I see. I can't wait to tell Wes. We did the pants and the top to go with that. There was a
I didn't get the pants.
Yeah. You're a sellout.
Yeah. Believe it or not, people said that about us when we were working with Supreme. They were like, what the fuck is this?
You know what? That's an interesting thing. Now, listen, I got to ask you. You guys set a bar for yourself where people could choose if they wanted to call you a sellout at any point because y'all were so hardcore. So the second you got a hit, the second hip-hop starts getting played on commercial radio, you already have to deal with the dichotomy of it's being true. Revolutionary but gangsta and also successful. That had to be challenging.
Let me take it back even further than that, because where we started was really grassroots, and I'm talking about so grassroots, like, you know, the revolutionaries, they don't have jobs. You know, these are people who work for the people. So, like, you know, when we decided to be artists, it meant like some sort of agreement that we had to have with like the quote unquote industry. The sellout moment happened when we signed with Steve Rifkin. But that inception, that the origin story, people didn't know that. They just heard Dead Prez. But if their interpretation of selling out was when we got a hit record or when we did a song with Jay-Z or when we did a collaboration with Supreme, you know, I always take it back, you know, about what people's perception of Dead Prez is, because they're like, oh, we would never, or they would never, or this is their line and the standard. Well, we had to understand that in a deeper question when we made a deal with the so-called devil of the industry. Mm-hmm. Not really a devil. I'm thankful for Steve Rifkin. I talked to him the other day. There's levels to that idea of selling out is what I'm saying.
Stick is here.
Okay, I saw that. Yeah, good. Yeah, we'll bring him in.
Yeah, let's stick in. Wow, sorry to interrupt your story.
Wow, this is crazy. I'm excited about this.
1-2-1-2-1-2. What it do?
Yeah. People's Army.
All right. Oh, what up, MA?
So much.
What's good, bro?
How you, man?
Hanging.
Thank you for being here.
You guys are important to me as a group for a lot of reasons. I mean, your first album, it's just a masterpiece. It was just an incredible moment in hip hop. It was when I was first working at a commercial radio station in DC, WPGC, and hip hop blew up, and it was amazing to me because I'm playing the song on my college radio station every week. And then I'm like, oh my God, this song's actually going to take off. But Syph, I just realized this.
First of all, you're talking in your sports voice.
Okay. Sorry. I'm wearing the headset, so I can't help it.
Yeah. Hip hop this up a little more. You got your
word is bond. Word is bond.
I don't know the difference. I wouldn't know.
No. Okay. So one of the reasons I think I love Dead Prez extra, I hope you can feel me on this. Okay. Was that you guys were RBG, Black Empowerment, all Black everything.
Fight the power.
Fight the power, fuck the system and the man. But I never, as a Jewish hip-hop head, got the inkling of the Jew hate, which sometimes came a lot with the other stuff. And so me and my brother, we'd love all this stuff. And we'd have to ignore the lines that were like, I'll choose to ignore the little anti-Semitic shit that got thrown in there. Whereas with you guys, I really was able to feel like a supporter fully. Being a white Jewish kid, I could still be like, yo, I love this shit. And didn't have that little tinge of like, They might hate me also. You know what I'm saying? So thank you.
They never said it, but they never said it.
Never said it.
Never said it.
Nah, we had no hate. No hate in the heart, man. Just
we didn't.
1,000.
Yeah, but you guys were different in that regard, though, to a certain degree. Like, you guys were you really leaned into the positive in a way that was different, all the way to the healthy eating, the, like, you know, meditation. You guys were so early. Who opened your guys' eyes to this way of life?
I just got to say this to it. You know, I can't really. It's obviously it's a process of coming to whatever enlightenment that we do in life, and there are many influences in that. At the point where you hear Dead Prez, I have to say that we were so laser focused on freedom, it means to be really free, and that a lot of that other stuff, it becomes detractors, right? So, like, you know, we know it's not about race. We knew it was about power. You know what I'm saying? We know that has a complexion in the power struggle, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's not about race, right?
Right.
That's just the way that they use to do this. And then so we also knew that it wasn't about religion. It wasn't about fighting ideas in people's heads about whose God is the best. It wasn't about that at all either. So in order to get directly to the right to the center of the thing, we wanted to speak in terms that would involve people who wanted that too, and allow everybody who wanted that too, because it's bigger than the music. We were intent on changing conditions, and that's why it sounded the way it sounded.
And to add on to my brother is, we all at the same time, there was certain natural expressions and experiences, right? And like, you know, you'll hear say, I'm down to run up on them crackers in they city hall.
Love that
right?
line.
Like, so now, where I'm from in Florida, you know what I mean? Just as much as, you know, we've been under the, you know, the racist oppression and all that, and we've been called nigger by the system in so many ways. In Florida, we say cracker this, cracker that, as referring to the police, to the different folks. You know, they might be white, you know, but it's not a racial thing. It's more like a power thing, right? Right.
Exactly.
But it's a Southern thing when you know, them crackers coming. Hey, don't call them crackers on me. You know, like, that's some street shit where we from. So to be able to, at the same time, unapologetically speak in the language that's real, you know what I mean? But to have people of all walks of life be able to resonate and feel the real energy in all of it, right? That's how we knew we was getting across what we was getting across, you know, without shucking and jiving and playing around. You know what I mean?
You definitely didn't do that.
There's not a phone. This is my phone. This is my phone right now. This is my old phone. There's not a phone I have.
You a drug
that doesn't have.
Perhaps.
No. Every phone I own has the RBG album immediately put on it. It's my favorite album of all time. And all your other albums I love, but the RBG, when Revolutionary But Gangsta, it means so much to me. And my alarm on my phone, my alarm when I wake up every morning that my daughter has to press snooze on it is Way of Life.
Wow.
I don't know if you can see that.
How about this? Let me play it for a second. How about that?
What you know about the running?
Man, that was a life-changing song right there.
This is how I wake up every morning. Wait for it, Peter. It's time to get up and do shit. Now, the fucking, that album, you still playing it?
No, go ahead.
I couldn't hear it. That album is put together so incredibly. There's a hidden song. There's Jay-Z's on it. You know what I'm saying? Every song has a clear concept. You guys don't just rap, like just rappity rap. Like I fucking work out when I do work out. Yeah. I play 50 in the clip and I try to do 50 push-ups. They gamble. Yeah. That's what I loved about the album, is street shit, but with this revolutionary aspect to it. So like you're gambling, you're playing dice on the street, but you're gambling for push-ups.
Mm. Right.
It's fucking sick of.
This is a snapshot of the lifestyle, man. That's how we was rolling. He just recorded.
Yeah.
What's the song with the cops? What's the name of that song?
I need a drink. I have a dream too.
I got a dream.
It's relevant. It's relevant now.
Facts.
Yeah. You could watch a clip from CNN and play that song underneath, and it's relevant today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What?
Give me the
a lot of those people who we list at the end of those songs, the political prisoners, because you know it was like Geronimo Jajaga Pratt style. Anybody who knows Geronimo, it was like kind of like the vibe of what we doing. But the people we listed at the end of the song, the political prisoners, some of them are just coming home right now. Welcome home, Herman Bell. Yeah. I finally can say welcome home after all these. Some people was in jail as long as I'm literally alive. Like they doing like 40 only, you know, these dudes is like 80 some years old. Yeah. So, Sudiata Kohli, hopefully. And you know, man, let me tell you. So, you know, welcome home to those cats. And thank you for mentioning that song. I'm sorry it's relevant, actually.
Right. I mean.
Yeah, horrible.
Man,
horrible.
Let me tell you a quick one, too, man. Just move me.
Take your time.
Because of the inspiration, like M is talking about, the real OGs that we were writing songs about and inspired about certain real actions that they were doing time for, right? Mm-hmm. So, and also, you know, any culture, any art that was influencing us, you know, we soaking up movies, we reading, we, you know, participating. And one of those influences was this movie called Spook Who Sat by the Door, right? And it was a book and a film by Sam Greenlee. But long story short, it was—
Rest in peace, Sam.
Yeah, rest in peace. Long story short, that right, we as young, before we was dead, prez, all that, we watched this movie in the hood and it put a battery in our back, to say the least, as far as how we wanted to move and groove, right? So fast forward, and you know, I have never really shared this, but I had a conversation with Nipsey Hussle before he passed, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe like not even a year before he passed. And he had called and he was, in fact, it was a little more than that because he had just solidified his deal with Atlantic.
Okay.
And he hit me on the ground, right? And was like, you know, I'm trying to get in touch with you, whatever. I'm like, oh, Nip, you know what I mean? Boom. So I had met him before. And you know what I mean, through a mutual friend, my buddy Zaid Malik. But anyway, he was like, I want to get in touch. So I hit him up and we got on the jet, right? And we had this like hour-long conversation about what he had been trying to do up to that point with, you know, on as an independent, and how he wanted his situation to be with Atlantic, and that he had made it to the certain personal goals he had. So right. That he's a partner, right? So so what he wanted to talk to me about, though, was his three-album mission, which was to do Victory Lap. He was going to do another album, and then his final one that he would owe Atlantic would be this final album called A Spook Who Sat by the Door, right? Mm. And he told me that.
Wow.
He told me he wanted to redo Let's Get Free and wanted you know, our permission, right?
Wow.
To sample and to really like redo it for what he called his generation. And I didn't, all the admiration he had for that record. And we just had a heart to heart back and forth. And obviously that we didn't get to go there.
Yeah.
But that's, I just wanted to speak to the type of heart Nip had and like where he was coming from as it relates to that.
He was, I knew he was a student. Like I could always tell he was a student, and he was not
like all true hip hop heads, Coast had nothing to do with it. Like he was just a, he wanted it all. I did not know that he was so influenced. It makes perfect sense. I
100%.
Mean,
yeah, man.
That's
it hit me hard, man. Cause I went the day he got shot, I had just landed in Cali for a boxing film I was being part of, and as soon as I landed, like you know, it was blowing up on the phone, and it was just you know what I mean. Like his where Nip was going with it, man, is definitely in a lot of ways, you know what we. Tribally speaking, you know what I mean? We was in the same space.
100%.
M1, did you ever get to communicate with him at all or no?
I did, man. I did. He touched down in Miami. and he was here to work with Rick Ross. And I think he ended up having a few studio sessions around with a few different people, but he ended up in a studio that I was familiar with, and we spent an evening just chopping it up about the world, Africa. What was so funny about it was I was coming in at Fort Lauderdale Airport, and we ended up in the same terminal. And Black Sam looked over at me and said, "That's M1." And Nip came over. I had my hoodie on and some African type pants. I wasn't looking like M1. He, you know, they wouldn't, if you didn't know me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what made him know me know, oh, this guy, Dead Prez is on his radar.
Yeah.
And then he ended up inviting me to the studio and we kicked it for a night and we had some stuff we were talking about too. It's important. Yeah. I love the stuff that he was talking with Stick about and, yeah, I miss him. I miss that, bro.
Yeah, me too.
Man.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing real quick, too. I found out, you know, obviously Nip had the Marathon brand, right? So, long, you know, we talking about all this rap shit and the movement and you know, that. And then I was like, yo, Nip, because I knew he was from Eritrea, right? His background. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, on the low, I'm a runner, man. I'm a long distance runner. I love running, passionate about it. So and his brand is Marathon, right? So I was like, yo, Nip, do you run? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, What you mean? And I was like, you know, run, marathon. He was like, nah. He was like, he was like, nah, I don't mean it like that. It's, you know, he was like, it's a metaphor.
Yeah, the game it's a long game we got to play.
Like, right? So I said, but yo, B, like you from Africa, right? Your people is from Africa. Your brand is Marathon. And you doing all this shit for Crenshaw. Let's do Crenshaw Marathon. Like, let's do it, right? And so, like, we was, he sent me a box of shit. I sent him all my healthy shit. And we were talking about Dr. Sabi. It was, man, it was crazy, bro. So, like, wow. I just put out this film is dropping February 28th. It's called A Beautiful Run. And there's a little companion book that comes with it, but I dedicated it to Nip. Because at some point, you know, we're gonna do that, man. We're gonna have to put the miles in for Nip, you know what I mean, and make that dream come true. Cause he was like, I would love to do it. The community, it would be great, and we just never got to do it.
Bro, I would love to be a part of that because I just started running the over COVID, and then, bro, I don't run. I'm trying to get better at it. I don't run a lot, but at the time I just started. In the middle of COVID, and I'm running like this girl Michelle Wolf. She's a comedian, but she's a very active runner. She's teaching me. I walk 2 minutes, and then I run 2 minutes. And, you know, I'm getting into it. So I got up to like my goal was to run 30 minutes straight without having to walk.
Yes.
And I kept trying to achieve that goal, and then I got it, and I ran like 2 miles straight, and then I started running 3 miles, and then the shit happened with George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
This is so crazy. This is the crazy. So I put the RBG album on, Revolutionary But Gangsta album. Mm. And it was the morning after or whatever time it was. And when I went for my run that day, I was running to start training for the war.
Mm.
and I ran 6 miles. Mind you, the longest I've ever run was 3 miles. And then three miles was, I was in pain. I ran 6 miles listening to your album on some, like, I need to train because this event is the start of the war. And that 6 miles fucked me up.
Like, he hasn't run again since, but it was a great moment.
Yo, I couldn't run for months after that because my knee was fucked up, my ankle was fucked because I went too hard, too fast. But the anger inside of me made me, you know what I mean? Like, and you got the song "I Have a Dream." You got the 50 in the clip. You got the Way of Life. You got the other one with the training. What you know about the man?
You got the song. You got fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget about that.
I don't drink, so fucked up. I just like the baseline.
Well, the song is a caution for drinking. It's for those who want to transition away from being in a fucked up situation. But look, I got something funny for you, and you know, I hope you can take this in a funny way, but maybe it could be some motivation for you running.
Yeah.
You know Nori?
Yes.
You ever seen him run?
It's horrible.
Oh man! So if you just think about Nori running, hey, you running.
I respect my man alone, man.
No. I call Nori sometimes.
He know I love him. Nori
is actually what I call an actual rap friend. Like, he's actually my friend, and he's a rapper. And I sometimes call him, and he's running, and I go, "This sounds horrible, son." But he does it though.
But you and Nori are similar, Sife. You and Nori are very similar with yo-yo, you know, the dieting going up and down, and now he's motivated. And when he gets into it, Nori's focused.
He's committed.
When people see me running and they recognize me, I'm so embarrassed because my form is horrible. My pace is horrible.
Fuck what they think. Fuck what everybody think, man. Just keep going. I run too, and it's like, yo, it's, you know, and believe me, like, I relate to you because the Ahmaud Arbery day, because he was running, a lot of runners did a run thing, and I was already running and training at that time, but let me tell you, my run went so quickly because I was energized by this anger and you know, confusion around the hunt and prey murder of black men. And so I can identify
that one is weird because I guess he was running with some kind of app where you knew exactly the moment, whatever it was, like 2.4 or 2.6, whatever it was.
Exactly.
Yeah, they knew, like, exactly.
Because his app stopped at that point because he stopped running because he was killed. And like, that's a weird one. That's like technology showing us like the exact moment, you know?
Yeah, like all these cameras catching the exact moments.
Exactly.
But it's interesting enough, man, that's what this whole project, Beautiful Run, is touching on all the energy. What M was saying, how when Ahmaud Arbery was murdered and, you know, when George Floyd, and then we just guys, trying to be a little healthier, right? We ain't trying to win no races. We're just trying to deal with stress and whatever. But you know what I mean? A regular run could become a run for your life. That's what the film is kind of inspired by in certain ways. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm excited to share it because so many people, believe this or not, there are people who was spooked from running when Ahmaud Arbery got killed. I live in Georgia.
Yeah.
And even myself, right? Long as I've been doing what I'm doing, I remember the news and the energy around this. And I'm on one of my regular runs on my regular route. And I'm going to the stop sign and a pickup truck pulls up, you know, like cars do.
Yeah.
And I remember my body feeling some new anxiety, bro. Mm. Like, because, you know, every day something was popping off. And I just remember, like, I never wasn't thinking that when I'm out here running. And now that pressure is all the way through, bro.
I run now. I had to move out of the city because of COVID. So I'm like more in a suburban area, but I still run around. I'm trying to find my right path to run. Bro, I run around. I run past a lot of Trump signs. And my body tenses up. It's like, why am I? I live three blocks from here. Why am I feeling like I'm out of place?
Right.
And you see the Trump signs and like big, like bro, big ones, like banners on their white picket fence, just Trump 2020. You know, and they're still up.
Yep.
Which basically them still being up is just that they. I feel like it. It feels like this reminder of like I just want you to know how I feel.
Oh no, it's a gang. It's a gang sign. It's a, this is all.
The reality is, over 70 million citizens voted that way. So you don't have to go three blocks. They don't have their Trump signs up, but they're right there in your
building. 100% Yeah.
Yo, let's. Okay. I want to dive. Saif, can we dive back for a second? I want to play you guys the first record I used to play of Dead Prez on college radio.
Okay.
It was this joint right here.
Woo! Yeah, it ain't no game, this is war. What's the word for today, homeboy?
That was a good time right there, man. Beautiful times right there.
So this was, you guys made this song for the soundtrack, Soul in the Hole, was it specific? You watched the documentary and then made the song?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Our buddy Tahir from a crew called Head Rush did the production, the beat. And me and him, conceptualized the song together based off what the documentary was about and what we was about. Because at the time, we was like, oh, this some sports shit, you know what I mean? Like run, jump, and shoot shit, you know. And we was like, let's tie this to, you know, some real shit. And so that's what came out.
Yeah.
What's that song called?
The Game of Life.
Score. I think that's in parentheses. It's called Score.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. I'd be forgetting.
Score. But, this ain't no game. This is war. Sorry, M1. Go ahead.
Let me put that in context of our life at that time. We were signed to Loud, but had been over there for a while. Didn't know, like years, didn't know when on the horizon that there would ever be a Dead Prez release, and didn't quite know where we fit in with the industry, but we were working with some good people who wanted us involved and shit. And so we, of course, again, like this opportunity for this movie came, and you know, I love basketball, and it was about, you know, New York ball, and it was good, but we were trying to apply it. Well, at that point, we were working with this producer who was associated with Bad Boy, who had introduced us to a singer who was on Bad Boy named Billy Lawrence. And we, at this time, were making this song and had the beat, and we were running back and forth from New York, and we would hang out with Billy at her crib in New Jersey. So we took the beat to New Jersey and we planned it in there or whatever. And she has a singing partner who is in the room then. His name is Giant. And Giant, we wanted to work with Billy, and we did actually on her album. We were trying to find ways and she sang on Root of All Evils, some of the other stuff that we were doing. But we were trying to figure out how to work with her because we loved her voice. But it was her friend Giant, and he ended up singing all over that song. He's the guy's voice that you hear, like, that makes the song special. And he passed away. Rest in peace to Giant. But that was the circle we were running in when we created that song. It was like, wow, like, and you know what I'm saying? Crazy.
Was that before Police State?
Yeah.
Yes.
So then Police State comes out as like a promo sometime after that.
Yeah. Also produced by the same producers. Yeah.
But Police State, you know, it was a super underground record. And obviously, did you guys have any anticipation that hip hop would be what it was?
Yo, MA, I'll start. Right. So we have made Let's Get Free, the whole record, all the songs, Police State, I'm an African, Day Schools, Be Healthy, right? Mindsets, right? All these songs. And the label was like, y'all don't have a single.
Right.
So, So
ain't no ready.
We like, okay, what, like M said, how do we fit in the game, right? Like, you know, there's certain rules to this shit, how you do it, right? But single for us, right? Okay, our shit is a whole meal, man, not just snack on the shit you just want to eat, right? So in protest, I'm in the studio and I'm like just playing around with some shit. And I remember growing up in Florida, one of the most obnoxious shits you could do was turn your music up in the trunk is just wah, 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 riding through, right? That's like the most obnoxious hood shit that happens, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to create that sound I'm on an ASR-10, and literally hip hop is three notes. It's bomb, bomb, bomb. Mm-hmm. But I got this little pitch wheel, so it's like bomb, right? I'm playing around trying to remember this. I'm trying to remember, emulate the truck rattling shit, right? But I'm doing this shit in protest because I'm like, Loud Records don't want no old school Florida truck shit, mm-hmm. right? At that time, now that's everywhere, but at that time, they didn't, right? So I'm making that, I put a little drums on it, and I said, whatever thoughts was like some hip, we should have a hook that's like, you know, some hip hop shit. And then the sub idea is like, but it's bigger than hip hop, right? Yeah. We're gonna make fun. So anyway, it's a joke. I always make a beat, then I throw the shit away. Em will tell you that. And so that's what I thought was gonna happen. But Em comes in with all the homies and like, what you working on? You know what I'm saying? Woo, woo, right? Come in the studio. And I was like, yo, listen to this shit. And I play the shit thinking we're going to have a laugh and then we're going to get to work. And as soon as I played the little rough start of it, everybody was like, nigga! Oh! Right? So I was like, no way. Like, you know, we use a lot of musicians on Let's Get Free. We got all this complexity that we trying to have in our tracks and arrangements. And I'm like, niggas, like this, three notes on some play shit, right? So then M is like, nah, man, like don't, he was like, don't erase it. Like, you know what I mean? Like definitely don't erase it. So I'm like, whatever. So this nigga M goes in the booth or somewhere in the Warrior Studios we was in.
And who's in your crib? Who's in your crib, dog?
Oh, that was my crib that time? Okay.
That was in your crib. We was down in the basement. It wasn't no booth. I just sat right there where he was just making that and the ASR-10 and sat right there behind it and the stool.
Yo, wherever we was at, all I know is I didn't believe it until M said, I got my verse, right? And this thing said, one thing about music, when he put that flow to the beat, I remember saying, oh, that's how you hear this shit?
Yeah, right.
You know,
and it was nuts. He made me a fan again of him and us. Like, just him, I was watching this shit like a fan too. And then I was like, damn, like, I love this. But then I was like, look at the bar he done set. Now I got to write a verse to this shit and don't fuck it up. You know what I'm saying? So that's to me, that song is a total accident that I never would have thought would have, you know what I mean, had the impact it's had. And then the label, when they heard it, immediately they was like, this is the one. We got it. We threw, you know, like it's done. It's a wrap. And I didn't believe it until I seen it in real life. You know what I'm saying?
And a problem with that record, not a problem, but It's the early version. The tempo is like 77 BPM, 76 BPM, something like that. Mm-hmm. Where at the time, nothing else was that tempo. You can't mix that record with any other song from that era.
Yeah.
Right.
You can mix it now flawlessly. Flawlessly with every trap song, your song will fucking mix perfectly tempo-wise.
Right.
But at the time, you as a DJ, you had to like talk or stop the song and then scratch it in or say something because it was nothing like it. Interesting. And then your boy Dave Chappelle uses it as his theme song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Didn't even think about that.
So never let me A&R your project.
But yo, I'm glad to know though that this I was only, you know, I was 19, 20 when it came out and doing college radio. So my assumption was right. I assumed you guys were being conceptually ironic.
100%.
From the second I heard it, I was like, oh, they're fucking with everyone. This and then it works.
Yeah, it does. It did by accident. And it was so crazy. You're right. You know, we thought Police State was legit. The first single, like we were like willing to bet the farm on it, you know what I'm saying? And just because ideologically, we thought we were hitting where the pulse of the people were, and I hate to say this, we did, and that song still means what it means now, yeah. And I hate that it means what it means now.
Yeah, it's very sad.
But it's solemn. It's like when we do it in shows, it's like. That moment is you gonna feel angry, you know what I'm saying? Like because not because the song means what it means, but because shit has not changed. That song can play behind all of the murders that we know, and so yeah, you know it's ironic that we flipped that on its back, yeah. And then you heard hip hop, and that's how the world.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm ready for combat training like Geronimo Pratt. I mean.
I just want you guys to know that every time we're sitting around in the studio doing the morning show, and we usually when Shawnee starts like talking about a girl in some way, Ebro and I default just start saying fresh bed of lettuce with croutons. That's the first thing we say every single time, because you know Shawnee's on his Nag Champa shit. And when he starts going, and it's sincere, it's in earnest, so like we love it and appreciate it, but the song for it is Mind Sex every time. Mind Sex embodies that energy so well. Now, did you guys ever have a moment where you lived every part of what you say on Mind Sex? Like literally yes. Hot chick.
Yes.
And you're like, nah, yes. Chill. Let's definitely. Have Mind Sex. We ain't got to take our clothes off yet. Let's just chat.
Hey, man, for sure. You know, for sure. Like,
yes.
When it comes, all our music comes out of experience.
Real experience.
To a certain extent.
I remember when Mind Sex was made. I remember what Stick was thinking. I remember we had got this little apartment downtown Brooklyn. And let me tell you, he had created a element. It was a bunch of tracks around that time when he was making Mind Sex that were intentionally done with the, you know, Isaac Hayes, Marvin Gaye intention. There was Nag Champa in the air for sure. Like it was yes. That's not a joke. And it you know
just
that kind of course
on the food time, all that.
Yeah,
it was as real talk. That was exactly what happened. It definitely, you know, for all the, you know, the head wrap chicks where and Nag Champa and you know, thank you because they gave us all the love. We got all of it.
That's beautiful.
Yo, let me tell you something that might for DJs and producers might be interesting, right? So that the record that we sampled for Mind Sex, right, is actually this song called the Ballad of Ho Chi Minh. Right. So Ho Chi Minh was, you know, when America was fighting with Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh was the president of Vietnam. Right. So I thought, again, always trying to it's like a protest with this shit. Right. So it's like if we take something that's the Vietnamese president's ballad. Right. And turn it into a love song on this Let's Get Free project. I just thought creatively. That was, you know what I mean? That was some puzzle shit. That was some Scrabble shit. You know what I mean?
That's the intention.
But if you do the research and you listen to the look for the song Ballad of Ho Chi Minh, right? M-I-N-H, me. Uh-huh. You're gonna be like, yo, that's fucking Mind Sex right there. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Like that.
Look, I literally could sit here and talk hours. I need to know who was playing guitar on Way of Life, who played the bass line on Fucked Up. I'll never stop asking questions. But just as overall, I'd always wanted to know, like, how did you get Hove on the Hell Yeah remix, or how did that come about?
I was at one time. First of all, we made the record. We made the whole record. We were on Sony. We have changed from Loud to Sony because Loud fumbled the ball, and we ended up on a new plantation, which wasn't happy to have us new slaves. And they were like, it's crowded over here. I don't know who these new niggas are, you know. And so,
how much can they lift?
Yeah, exactly. You know, is he a buck or not? Mandingo nigga, what's going on? Yeah. So we basically we had a lawyer who was good with us at the time, and we went and pled our case, and we got let off the plantation. They unshackled us, mm-hmm. and so we running around with this record that we had done, I just remember being at Stick Crib after I had talked one day with Dream Hampton. I was hanging out with Dream Hampton, and she had let Jay-Z hear a snippet of a song that he called the Pizza Song. It was a song we robbed the pizza man. It's basically mm-hmm. Hell Yeah. And mm-hmm. he heard another piece of it. And I remember going to Stick Crib saying, yo, Jay heard the song and he likes this song and this song. And he might want to rap on it. And this is interesting because at that point is, you know, it's Jay-Z, the probably Grammy winning hype of, I didn't think you could get higher in hip hop than where he was at that time. You know what I mean? Like he was probably like 10 summers in or some shit. Yeah. I don't know. Like, you know, and so I remember the next morning waking up on President and between Schenectady and Troy. And I got an early morning phone call, and it was from his assistant, Carlene. And she said, Jay is finished working out. He was boxing at the time, and he was going to go to the studio in 30 minutes. Can I make it to the studio?
Wow.
And I remember thinking to myself, damn, it's really early in the morning. you know, how, you know, is this really going to be like it is anyway? I caught the train, went to Baseline, I believe, showed up in the lab, and the song was already going. Guru had it going already, and Beyonce was sitting right there, and Jay was in the booth, and he was like 8 bars in, and and I walked in the room, and he could see me walk in, and he stopped and said, "Yo, you heard it? What'd you think about it?" And I was like, "Yo, this is crazy." And I shook Beyonce's hand. I sat down. I had on army fatigues, and
oh,
I
really?
Listened to.
That's yeah, weird.
Strange.
Yeah, and then I literally sat and watched him ideate the last 8 bars, just word for word, like the legend that we've heard him do.
Yeah, yeah.
He did that. It took no time. It was probably over in like 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And then he came out and listened to it once. He asked, "What did I think about it?" I was like, "I fucking love it." And of course, at this point, anything I can get, I'm like, "Wow." And then he says, "Do you want me to do the chorus?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then he goes back in and he does the chorus.
Had you met him before?
Yeah, it was funny. Me and Stick, I let Stick tell part of it, but literally we were like homeless and we met Lord Jamar. Mm. Downtown Brooklyn, and Jamar invited us into his life and started to make music with us, and he lived at 560 State Street. And so literally
Jay-Z
across the hall, like every day we saw Rockefeller from the beginning, like from like, you know, remember the first people who was on the ride? Yep. We were there from the Rangers, Sauce Money.
Yo, this is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend lived at 560 State Street, like just randomly. Yeah.
Sife, you've never mentioned to me that Lord Jamar lived there too.
No, I didn't know. Not at the time. He lived at 560 State Street more recently.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But a lot of people apparently lived there.
So Lord Jamar was seeing Jay-Z too around that time?
Yeah, we were in his apartment. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yo, I didn't even know that you guys had a connection to Lord Jamar, which is perfect, by the way. But also that he was, yo, that this is like making my hip hop imagination go crazy. That's incredible.
Now, I got one more real quick on the Hell Yeah song.
Okay.
So we before Jay heard it through Dream, because Jay before he heard it through Dream, we had, like M said, we had been working in studios and we had done that song. And at different eps and different capers we ran, and was the concept, right? Mm-hmm. And Nas came to the studio, right? Remember this, M? And
I do. I invited him.
So this was a time when it wasn't like, all right, I'm gonna email you the track type shit, right? Yeah. It was like if somebody's gonna get on the track, you gotta give them the real. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean, and then they got to record it and give it back and all that, right? So Nas was in the studio. We was, talking. He was listening to different shit, and he heard that same song, the pizza song, and was like, he was like, "Yo, I want to get on that," right?
Wow.
And then we was like, "All right," and we gave this nigga the real
what
to get on it, but he never followed up and did it. So when M told me Jay wanted to get on it, right? So Nas and Jay, right? So I'm thinking in my mind, but then like Nas was supposed to get on that. Should we? In my mind, should we give it to him? And then I'm like, if Jay gonna do it, let's see who gonna put the, really do it. So Jay was the one. And then one more thing about Jay, not only did he do what he said he was gonna do, but when it came time for the paperwork and the business and all that, he gave it to us.
Yeah, straight like that.
That song.
So he took nothing? He didn't care? He just said it's for you?
He gave it to us. Like, he was getting $100,000 a fucking verse.
And I'm sure
it to us.
I'm sure it cost him money to give us that song. I'm sure that he had to have some lawyer draw that up, and we didn't have anything to do with it. So I'm sure he probably paid.
That song is one of the reasons why I love Jay-Z so much, because it proves that, and I didn't know he gave it to you. I'm just saying, as a fan of hip hop, no matter how big the man gets, he still wants to rap on a track that he feels connected to. You know what I mean? But I didn't know he gave it to you, which makes even more sense. But because the track is grimy.
He put us in a position by giving it to us to negotiate that as his own thing when we got dropped off Columbia. And then like 3 months later, they said we made a mistake. They had to re-sign us. And they had to repay us a full new budget.
Right. Not just transferred over from Loud.
So it was beautiful.
And then they hated on it because they didn't support the record. And they seen Jay on it. And they knew what was happening. And they buried the record, man.
Here's the thing about Jay, though. As much as I respect him and love him and him doing that song for the love, which now I know even more, but he always is smart about the songs he jumps on, because that song, you're talking about scamming the system on that song.
That's
so
right.
It can't ever really blow up.
Yeah.
So it keeps him underground. It keeps him in the street level album cut. Because of course, if Jay-Z's on something, you're going to want to make it a single. You're teaching people how to do credit card scams and how to fucking rob the pizza man. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can't do those scams. You can't do anymore.
You mean swipes? You mean swipes? Like,
no,
what they doing?
Shit
you mean
about, right. About no,
I'm kidding.
No, you can still do credit card scams, but not the way you said it, because you were saying
Uber Eats ain't getting hit up.
Put your picture on your boy's license.
Right. That was like way before when tech was like. You could do that type
you
of thing.
You could do all of it and returning the shit. You can't return shit for cash no more.
Nah,
you
no steal more.
It from the store. You get store credit.
Exactly.
Yo, that is
you know.
Yeah, Sife knows.
Word.
By the way, that's crazy. Word. I really didn't know that part of it either. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like, you make a good point about that. It's both a blessing that he was on it, but it's also bound to not go as far as it. He's not going to give it his full energy because it wouldn't make sense for him to try to make it the biggest thing in the world. That goes against the point of what it was, which was to do something underground.
No, I feel what you're saying, but now it wasn't even his record to do that with. You know, he was humble enough to be like, this is y'all, you know. I'm a fan of what y'all are doing, the poetry of it.
And left it in your hands to make it happen.
Exactly. Yeah, basically.
It was no expectation. It wasn't like, we weren't trying to use him. He wasn't trying to, you know.
Of course. That's why I love it.
And that's around the same time he did the Get By remix in that era, too. Yeah. Like, he had a few moments like that were amazing.
Yeah.
Man, I'm proud of that. And I'm proud it showed up in his book, Decoded, too.
He gave it.
Oh, he put the bars in Decoded?
Yes, he did.
That's fire. Yeah. That's fire.
Yeah.
Yo, guys, thank you. This has been a real honor to get and sit talk with you guys. It means a lot.
Likewise.
Hey.
Man. Appreciate
that. That means ya basta. Don't get it fucked up. People see that and get offended. That's ya basta. You know what I'm saying?
Basta.
So that's enough is enough. And it's a, you know, international revolutionary symbol supporting the Zapatistas and that and all the Mexican Revolution and the rest. So when people see it, it does not mean fuck you. Okay.
Sometimes it does.
It means fuck them.
It means fuck them.
You gotta turn around real quick and that means fuck them. But not but really though, thank you for supporting that, bro, for real.
For sure. Don't forget A Beautiful Run, February 28th, abeautifulrun.com. Check us out, man. Let's go.
Yo, let's do this again sometime.
Please, Rosenberg, you're amazing at what you do. Cypher, I saw you with Chappelle down there. I love what you're doing with your comedian work. Please let me laugh at you sometime, man. Let me laugh with
definitely.
You. All right.
Thanks, Dead Prez. Have a good week.
Dead Prez, we love you.
Shouts to M1. Shouts to Stickman. Shouts to you guys for joining, supporting the Patreon, subscribing, liking, telling a friend. Please continue to do it. We are on it. We're on our grisly grind. We're not going anywhere. So we appreciate you all.
Boom.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.